Well, we want to welcome you. 5 years. Five. That sounds so long. You know, I remember when we were in that little bitty place over by Ace fighting for parking on Sunday morning and having trucks with trailers pull up by our front door sideways and having to go over and talk to the manager and say, can you please, you know, we need our parking. But I remember that. And so to look back from now and to see all that God has done through the ups and the downs, through the difficulties and the good times, and there have been both and all of the above. But 5 years, I mean, it's awesome. And so I was thinking this week about it, and I was working. I'm working on a job for a lady that's out on Lakeview Road and off of one of the side roads out there. And she has this property that is cleared. I think it was owned by the paper mill at one time. And then back in 94, she purchased this land. But it had been cleared. All the trees, all the stumps were gone. So it's like wide open. And when you go out there, literally I can leave my house and it's like there's no wind at all. And I get to her house and it's like 30 miles an hour gusts. And it seems like every day. Because it's like wide open for acres. And so she's open to the wind and the elements. And last week, one day, she was just talking. She didn't know anything. I haven't told her anything about the church, about anniversary, about... she doesn't even know what our logo is or anything like that. So she was just talking, and she was pointing out these trees, and she pointed to this tree, and she said, that tree right there is the same age as those five trees over there, which they weren't very far apart, but the five trees that she pointed at were small. They were puny. I mean, they had... You know, they were just thin and just looked extremely different than the one. And the way they looked, they were like maybe not even as tall as that pole and not even barely that big around. And they just were puny. And the other one, the one that she pointed at first, was about three times as big around. And it was really wide. I mean, really big on the top. It was twice as tall as the other five. It was a much larger tree. It actually looked very pretty. All the stuff was green on it. It was, you know, budding out. It was a pine tree. And so I was looking at the trees, and she was talking. And I said, well, why is that so different? And, of course, my mind as a contractor in remodeling, my mind goes to, okay, where's your septic line go? And because I'm like, this one's so much bigger and so much greener than these other five. And she's all, no. It's way over there, away from all the trees completely. I know I had it put in. I know I was here when it was done and all this stuff. So I was like, well, why is that tree so much different than these other five trees? And the other five trees were actually in a lower place where they were getting more water. And I seemed like, you know, common sense would be that they would be better. But that's not the case. She said it's because the five trees in the back, I never pruned them. She said, but that tree right there, I pruned several times. Several times I pruned that tree so that it would bush out on the top. See, she understood pruning. She understood what it would do. She understood that it would cause that tree to look like that. So she intentionally did that, but it took years for that to amount to something or to be seen by others. And so I feel like that's where we're at. We're just like that. We have been pruned multiple times. And that pruning is God intentionally knowing what he's doing. He prunes. And so that you know, when you prune something, like she was talking about cutting the top off of it, there's no way, you know, we know that. It's not a very pretty thing. You go, you prune a bush, you see all the cut limbs and stuff. It's not exactly beautiful. It's not pretty. But let it grow out. Give it time. And it's like that bigger tree. It's prettier than all the rest because it was pruned more. It went through more difficulty. It went through more times of this stuff being taken off. And so intentionally, she knew what she was doing. And I believe that God knows what he's doing with this church and with us as a body. He knows exactly what he's doing. And we follow his lead. And we allow him to prune. And we allow him to bring change. And we allow him to do whatever he wants to do. And so for a season, we have been, the Saturday night thing was great. We loved it. I'm actually going, we're going to miss it. You know, actually having Sunday as a pajama day or a day off or whatever you want, a day of actual rest was pretty nice. Having to get up in the morning on Sunday, you know, we're all going to have to adjust to that, obviously. But it's going to be a good thing. It's a good season. It's a time of change. It is, you know, pruning is change. It's a time when things are done to cause growth. And I believe that that is exactly what God has intended and is doing. And so I believe that this church and us as a body, we're going to grow to be like the one tree and not like the five. We're going to grow out. We're going to increase. And all of these things are going to happen. And, you know, it takes time. The pruning is not pretty. The process is, she had to do it multiple times over and over and over again. And I believe the more it's done at times, then there's a time, okay, the pruning's done. Now it's time to bear fruit. And so now it's time to bear fruit. Now is the time and the season for things to bud and to grow. And the guy I talked about the other night at Resurrection Life, the prophet there, I was talking about the almond tree budding first. And so I believe that we are in that season. We're in that season to bud and to grow and for things to change. And so I'm really excited. I'm excited about the change. It took us a little while to adjust to the idea of changing. And that's, you know, we love change. If you've known us for any length of time, you know that. And so, you know, for us to take a little while to warm up to an idea, it's got to be a God thing, because it wasn't that we warmed up. It was like it took a little while for things to go, okay, this is God. Yes. Okay. Yes. We're excited. And then when the excitement comes, it's like it's stuck. It's there. It's not just like Saturday night, the switch for that was an instant excitement. This is God. This is good. He spoke it. Let's do it. He's done this a little different. He did this as an idea. He put it in our hearts and minds, and we began to pray on it and talk about it and then make the shift and choose to make the change. And so we are really excited about changing back to Sunday mornings and believe that God is going to do great things, and it's going to be a season of growth. And so I want to ask Paula to come up. God bless you guys.
Do you guys mind if we pray one more time? Talk to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God. As Eric was saying, God, we thank you for the pruning. We thank you, Jesus, that God, yes, we have felt those shears, God. We have felt those clippers, God, whatever you use, and I believe different tools, different times, God. I thank you that, Jesus, your grace has always been sufficient to stand up in any season that we've walked through, God. We thank you for your faithfulness that we have always felt and known your presence, God. And Lord, I thank you that today, God, as we step into a new transition, a new beginning, God, that your grace is just as efficient, God, sufficient as what we need for everything around the corner and around the bend, God. I thank you, Lord, that your faithfulness is amazing, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that, Lord, that you continue to burn in us. That God, where sometimes our emotions don't line up with what you're doing, God, I thank you that you make that adjustment in you as we choose to obey. And God, I thank you that this morning, Jesus, as we come and we celebrate, like what Rick said, we celebrate what you've done these past 5 years, Lord. God, I thank you that you give us a new vision God, just like when we get excitement and encounter you, Lord, our heart skips a beat, God. I pray that that happens to everyone in this room today, Lord. Through a fresh encounter with you or a word or something, God. Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to be too long, but that there is a few things I want to share. You know, the number 5 prophetically means grace. How many of us can use some more of that, right? I'm ready to walk through a season of grace. You know, we are not the kind of leaders that necessarily hide what's going on in our lives. I truly believe that the Lord has put that grace on us to do that, I think it's a mandate. I think it's a mandate for the church to be that way. To let each other know that, hey, I'm struggling, or hey, life is good right now. I believe that that's how we're supposed to be with each other. Right? What that does is it causes something inside of us to grab hold of God even a little bit deeper and say, you know what? What I'm going through is normal. We get this thing in our head that Christians aren't supposed to go through certain things and deal with certain things, and our lives are supposed to be a certain way and look a certain way. Well, what that does is that just brings us into a bondage of when we are struggling or going through something, we think that we're failing in a way. Okay, this is nothing at all what I was going to share, but I'm going with it, okay? So the thing of it is that I believe that in this next season, as grace increases, vulnerability will increase. Because when we walk through grace, God begins to do something. He's molding us and he's making us. And there's a little bit of pressure that requires the all-sufficient grace. You know, sometimes the pressure can come from the enemy, and sometimes it comes from God. And in that molding and in that pressure from God, he begins to make us into a masterpiece. But we need grace to be vulnerable in that situation to allow him. There's some things still on my heart that I want to grab hold of in God. There's some things on my heart, some callings and some things in my heart that the Lord has put in me from 15, when I was 15, that I still want to see. But you know what? If he would have given that to me then, I would have just failed because there wasn't the pressure applied to make me who I need to be to receive that. Am I making sense? So this season, this year, 5 of grace. We need grace because of the vulnerability that we're going to have before the Lord as he applies pressure to make us and mold us even deeper of what we're supposed to be. And a lot of times it's simply just receiving what he's already done. You know, we have these things in our head, or when the Lord, I know sometimes I've gotten a word from God about my future or whatever. Good example. When I was in Bible school, you have to try to give you a clear picture of how I was. I was very content in the Lord. Content in the Lord where I wasn't looking from guy to guy. Maybe he's my husband, because that's what people do in Bible school. Maybe he's my husband. Maybe she's my wife. And it kind of just goes around this circle, and you're like, oh, my Jesus. I wasn't like that. But the Lord began to stir something in me. One day I was in prayer, and he said, you're going to meet your husband in a couple months. Well, a couple months would have been September of that year. And I was like, okay. So I told a close friend of mine, and she was like, well, I'll pray with you about it. I thought I was crazy because I never received anything like that before. Well, I'd had dreams and stuff. Anyways, so I can't remember. I think that was in 2001. The Lord spoke that and said in a couple months, so that would be September. So if I would have settled something in my heart then, in the sense of, you know what, I'm going to find my husband, because the Lord said that it was going to be in a couple months, and I'm going to find him. I met Rick 2 years after that in September. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we receive a word and we think, this is what it's going to look like, and this is the way it's going to be. But yet, the Lord's like, it's going to happen tomorrow, but it's 2 years later. So if I would have formed in my own mind that it was going to be the September of that year, I would have been disappointed. Or either that, or I would have found me a man, right? The wrong one. So I think that as we celebrate this day and as we trust in the Lord for the next season, as we're walking through, I want to encourage us with something. If there's something that the Lord has spoken to you about, submit it again to him, because maybe the timing is not his. And as we walk forward, as we walk through grace and vulnerability, see, here's the deal. When I'm vulnerable before the Lord and he's given me these words and he's told me these things, I allow him to mold those things and create those things deeper within my heart and make them look like his. Yes, we take ownership of it. Yes, we grab hold of it. Yes, we declare it. But be very careful that in this next season, we don't paint our own picture of what the Lord has spoken. Only his. Only his picture. Only his vision. Because I can put something in my head that isn't necessarily God's will. And you know what? I'm not saying that we shouldn't dream about doing awesome things for the Lord, because I believe the Lord inspires us in that. I'm talking about painting a picture, signing your name to it, and letting it stay there. Allow God to mold this next season in our body and individually to look exactly what he wants. I'm believing that the things that he has spoken to us and the things that he has declared over this body, that it will be his picture, his monument before him, as glory and honor to his name. was going to share something, just going to give you a tidbit. I've been really just studying, just thinking about how the Lord deals with us personally. And Genesis 15, where the Lord goes to Abram and he's telling him his promise of the future heir, his son, that he'll have a son, that it won't be the slave in his household. If you get a chance, read that. And how the Lord made a covenant with Abram. But you know what's cool about that? Is Abram asked the Lord, he said, "How will I know? How will I know?" And the Lord, think about this. He could have said, "You know what? It's because I said it. That's how you know." That's what he could have done. But he didn't. He made a covenant with Abram in the way that Abram would understand. By the blood covenant. He did something to prove to him individually that this is why. This is what I'm going to do for you. And he didn't just say, "You know what? I said it, so it's going to happen." He didn't say that to him. He used his own language, his own culture. And sometimes we need to hear that. We need to hear things in our own way. And the Lord is so personal with us. So I'm believing also that the Lord will become more personal with us. We'll receive him more personally, not in a King James only sense. Do you know what I mean? Thus saith the Lord. Yes. But in a personal sense. So, all right. I'm done already.
Sunday morning thing, y'all, you people are going to be out here quick if it's this fast. It's only 11 o'clock. It's okay if I share the flower thing. Can you find it on yours where you had that? Because I couldn't find the exact same thing you had. Most of what I was going to share was already been shared. So just a little more on the pruning thing. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of felt this morning. I was like, Jesus, I don't know what more you can take away at this point. Was left. I don't. The worship leader I had is gone, and I lost my voice. I was like, "Well, I don't know. What do we do?" Okay, Jesus. And it's not one of the thing about it is you have those beautiful trees, which my husband pruned our plum tree a few years ago, and when we bought the house, the plums were on the tree when we moved in, and it was, I remember bringing Dad in the backyard and he ate one and he was like, you know, "My dad, this is the best plum I've ever had in my life." I don't know if you remember that, but I mean, they were so good. You bit it and it just juice went everywhere. They were amazing plums. And there was orange trees and grapes and all kinds of stuff back there. So the oranges are amazing. We still get those, but, so my husband decided to prune that plum tree, and we've yet to have prunes again since that first time. So I don't, not prunes, I'm saying, I mean to say plums. And so I don't know, you know, what that means. We won't talk about how he beat it with a baseball bat as well, because he read something about that helping it. And so I don't know. It was kind of like, that's too much. So, kind of, I feel like we're at the point where God's like, okay, any more will be too much, but I got you. But one day, we're going to get, and what's crazy is it, which I don't know a whole lot, I need to do some more, it flowers. The first year it didn't flower, it just leaved everywhere. And so they said, if it flowers, that means you'll get some plums. So last year, man, it was covered in flowers. I was like, all right, not one plum. Not one plum. So we'll get there. If either of you are smart with plum trees, let me know. We'll figure it out. Anyway, so yesterday, Pastor Paula and I were decorating for next door and getting ready for today. And she had a desire to have something alive on the table as a centerpiece. And so I was like, fish? And she's like, no, I was thinking more like a flower. I was like, oh, okay. And she just said alive. I was like, what? I mean, yeah, like lizards? I mean, what are we talking about here? Yeah, we get called a bunch of stuff, but she's just like flowers. And then I was like, well, if you cut them, then they're not alive anymore. But she was like a potted plant. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm tracking with you now. So we decided to go get some. The flowers that we had in mind were not there, and but they did have a ton of petunias. And so we bought enough for all the tables, and they were pretty, and it was going to be fine, just a little flower on each table. And we get back here, and after we bought the flowers and got here, she decided to look it up, what they mean. And here's what we found. The Maya and the Inca believed that the scent of a petunia had the power to ward off underworld monsters and spirits. Their flower buds were bunched together for magical drinks. Petunias will only thrive where there is positive energy and will not grow in places where there is negativity. Okay, so not us, really. We're just not new age, you know. So when a gift is given, which we were like, we could totally give away, you know, the potted whatever it is to somebody at the table, each one. When a given as a gift, petunias have two meanings. One is it means you're comfortable with someone, and the other means anger and resentment. So we decided not to use the petunias. She went to Fredex and she got another flower. But it's tiny. It's this little tiny red flower, but it's pretty. It's just this little bitty old thing. Well, the petunia, you know, was... And with that being said, we left them on the sidewalk. I left for about 20 minutes. When I came back, they were gone, which I knew that was going to happen, but that's why I put them out there. So we're like, well, warded off evil spirits for a little while. If we actually... And then somebody took them. And so... Anyways, now I'm not saying go take your petunias up or what, but maybe you shouldn't give them as a gift. And I don't know. I mean, it's weird. They can mean both the same thing, but unless you're angry with them. In any case, they so these that she brought back meant burning, right? And they mean it means burn, and they're not, you know. What's the word? Flamboyant? Or they're not, I wish I could remember what they're called. Well, you'll see when we go next door to eat the centerpiece. It means burning. Celosia. C-E-L-O-S-I-A. Has anybody heard of them? Flower people? Dad? Never heard of it? I might not be saying it right. Colossia. It's probably Celosia. In any case, when we go next door, you can see it. It means burning. Now, what was interesting about it is Emma was with us when we got the flowers, and she was not in there when we found out the meaning, and was not in there when Paula left to Fredex and came back, and she saw these new flowers on the table, and she was like, those other ones look so much better. She's like, they were so much prettier. And I was like, man, that is a word that can preach. The thing about our church, one of the things about our church that I really want to share is just that, you know, one thing you'll never find here is a fog machine. One thing you won't find here is laser shows. We won't hire people to be musicians. I'm not dissing the places that do. But the thing that's important with Love and Truth is not that we look the best. It's not that somebody says, wow, they sure do look good. They are beautiful. I love the way they do. That's attractive. Not that we're not attractive. We're very attractive people. But the last thing that we're interested in is making sure from the outside looking in that we look the best. But what we are interested in is that from the inside looking out, we're burning. And no matter the pruning, no matter the what, no matter what, because you see, when I am all about what looks better, that's not going to be the best decoration. That's not going to be the best table topper. But what's going to change the world and change the city is the fact that we're burning. Because see, with the, oh, look at me mentality is resentment, is anger. That's what grows there. But we don't want anything to do with that. Now, I'll take something that might be a little bit smaller, still beautiful, but definitely not something somebody walks into a nursery and says, oh, that one. I want that one. Now, the thing about Love and Truth, which I love about our church, is we're interested in the heart. We're interested in the heart because God gets glory with that. I know that there are churches with hundreds and thousands of people in them. They've got it. They've got so many people. They can do things and they look great. I bless them, Jesus. But the heart of Love and Truth is that we burn for one thing, for Jesus. It's never going to be about, hey, look at me here. So with that being said, I just want to take a second and say, you know what, Eric and Paula, you are doing a good job. You have done a great job. And from the outside looking in, we'd be like, well, it's Sunday morning, 5 years, and there's only 20 people sitting in there. But from the inside looking out, we're burning. And no matter if somebody walks down the sidewalk and says, oh, well, that church down there has got way, way, way more. Well, that church down there has only been here around for 2 months. They've got 300 people. Or they're doing 3 services over there. Well, nobody complains, you know, over here. Everything sounds great. The musicians are, you know, never lose their voice. And they, you know, they're amazing. And, well, over here, this happens. Well, over here, this happens. Over here, this happens. But over here, it burns. And I know that God is pleased. Thank you for doing things that are hard. Thank you for sticking with it. Thank you that after 5 years, people have come and committed their life and then stabbed you in the back. Thank you for staying with it. Thank you that people have come and loved them away. Thank you for doing what needed to happen for people to come and bless them to go to another church. Thank you for doing what was necessary to build us up, for being faithful. You still show up, and that's important that y'all still come. So I just wanted to take a second to say to our pastors, you know, y'all take a second to say thank you today. Because I know that there are several people that aren't here that wanted to be here. So we do have more usually than this. But from the outside looking in, it might be like, really? You sure God wants to continue that? Maybe ask yourself to reevaluate. There's burning here. And that's all the attraction I need. But thank you guys for being faithful to Love and Truth. Each and every one of you. We're without y'all. I mean, you know, y'all are faithful givers. Thank you. That's how we make it 5 years. Everyone in this room is a faithful giver. Thank you. Thank you. So 5 years from now, those plants in there, they're little now. They'll get much bigger. But they'll still mean one thing. Burning. Petunias are pretty. But I'm not interested in anger and resentment. And I'm not interested in somebody just being comfortable. I'm interested in people walking into this door and feeling the fire of God and walking out there and sharing the fire of God. That's what I want for my heart. That's what I want for my family.